Good morning. How are we doing? Good to see you this morning. Those that are live streaming, good morning to you as well. As you know, we are in week two of our series, Who You Are in Christ. And last week, I talked about the focus of this series is to discover who we are in Christ. And I talked about our position in Christ. And we saw that we are no longer fugitives from our past, that we've been made into a new creation. We've been made right with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And how we are now God's ambassador. Today we're going to explore the idea a little bit further. And specifically, we're going to talk about our potential in Christ, who we are made to be. A couple of years ago, Toy Story came out with their fourth movie. And if you have small kids or grandkids, you probably have seen it. Right? The character Bonnie loses all of her art supplies on her first day of kindergarten, and so Woody helps her out by recovering several things from the trash, including a plastic fork and a couple of popsicle sticks. And from these items, Bonnie creates this new friend, Forky, right? Who later comes to life like the other toys in the story. But Forky's experience is a little bit different from the others because he wasn't factory made. Right, he's pieced together from spare parts and held together by Elmer's glue. Right, and it really creates this like existential crisis for him. Right, he thinks he belongs in the garbage can, not in a little girl's toy collection. And so Woody tries to prevent Forky from throwing himself away. And the Toy Story movies are popular, partly because they often address themes that adults can relate to as well. So, such as this, like, who am I? Am I trash or am I a treasure? Why am I here? These are all questions that at some point we all ask at one time or another. And so these are also questions we find the answer in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've heard this before, but there was a teacher who asked her class of elementary age students, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she got all the answers that you would expect, right? I want to be a firefighter and a police officer and a professional athlete, a doctor, so on and so on. And then one kid said this. He said, I want to be possible. And the teacher was like, what do you mean by that? He said, every time I get into trouble, my mother tells me that I'm impossible. So when I grow up, I just want to be possible. You know, the good news of the gospel is that we all can be possible. And we may be by nature quite impossible. And we may feel more at home in the garbage can than on the shelf of treasured toys. But you can be made possible. That's who you are in Christ if you're a Christ follower here today. And I know you probably know this, but we all have been forgiven by the mercy of Jesus. We've been made new and we have potential to fully become all that he has created us to be. And we know it in our heads because we've heard it over and over again, time and time again. But for some, I think these truths have not fully made it into our daily, moment-by-moment life experience. For some, it's still a hit and miss on whether we live up to our potential or spend the day being impossible. And so this morning, I just want us to consider maybe three daily reminders Actually, three moment-by-moment reminders that'll help us rise above the limitations of who you think you are so you can begin to do what God has made you to be and made you to do. Three truths that we need to remind ourselves every day of who God says you are. Because we all have those moments, don't we? Those moments when temptation comes. Those moments when we have a chance to minister to somebody, to bless someone. When we have an important conversation with a friend or a family member or a coworker. When we feel that the Holy Spirit is prompting us to give or to go somewhere or do something. And during these moments, we have to decide who we're going to be. Are we going to respond like trash or are we going to respond like treasure? That's the question. And these three reminders are going to help us navigate to the correct answer. Go ahead and take your note sheets out. You can follow along with me this morning. With each decision we make, each opportunity for obedience, we need to remind ourselves, first of all, that you were made for this moment. I've heard this said, there are two great moments in life, the moment you were born, the moment you realize why you were born. And I suppose you and I can imagine how this would apply to one's life, especially in those times, right? Those epic moments of life's greatest battles. I was reading the story of Esther last week. Story of an orphan Jewish girl during the time of Babylonian captivity. And the Jews, of course, were the ones being held captive and forced into slavery. And one day she's spotted by the king of Persia. And I was going to say his name, but I elected not to. Because I couldn't pronounce it anyway. And he's taken back by Esther's beauty. And so he makes her his wife, right? Now she lives in the royal palace. And a few years later, one of the king's top advisors was plotting to have all the Jews in the kingdom killed. And so Esther's cousin, you'll remember, Mordecai, he reaches out to her and asks if she would try to convince the king to stop the persecution. And Esther kind of flinches a bit. Because in Persia at the time, it wasn't a great idea for the queen to like demand stuff. In fact, in doing so, she was putting her life in danger. But Mordecai, he's on her. He told her, Esther, you need to do that. You need to give this your best shot. And then he says this in Esther 4, verse 14. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And Mordecai knew that God had put Esther in this place and that she needs to have the courage and the wisdom to see the reason and to fulfill that. And I thought, you know what? The principle applies to us as well. God puts us in a place for a reason. And we need to have the courage and the wisdom to see what that is and then just walk in it. So Esther, she does the right thing, right? She approaches the king. He listens to her. And the plot is prevented. It was derailed. And the end of the story, go ahead and read it for yourself. It's an awesome story. And Mordecai's statement was pretty good, right? He was saying, in effect, maybe this is the moment for which you've been created. Now let's just apply that to us in the here and now. And his words can apply to dozens of little moments throughout our day. Those opportunities to do right, opportunities to offer encouragement, opportunities to worship, opportunities to study, to pray, to spend our time productively. And as we encounter these many moments, can we honestly say, for this moment, I was made. I was made to worship. I was made to serve. I was made to give. I was made to encourage. I was made to be obedient. And it's harder than what it sounds, isn't it? In the book of Romans chapter 8, Paul says this in verse 29, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." And what we have here is this chain of God working, seen in this connection between foreknew and predestined and called and justified and glorified. And God didn't work in the Romans simply to abandon them in the midst of their present suffering. Paul is saying this, that God is the author of our salvation from the beginning to the end. And our participation in that plan is essential, right? It's reflected in its goal that we might be what? Conformed to the image of his son. And that's a process that God does with our cooperation. It's not something that he just does to us. You know what? You are done. You are conformed in the image of the son. That's not what he does, right? It is a process that we're involved in. The reason for this plan is that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And God has adopted us into his family, Romans 8:15. Right? For the purpose of what? Making us like Jesus Christ. Right? To be imitators of God, Ephesians 5. Or 1 John 2:6, to walk in the same way in which he walked. And what I'm driving at this morning is that a minute by minute throughout the day, you and I have the opportunity to say, this is not a throwaway moment. For this reason, I was born. For such a time as this. And I will do what's right, and I will do what is best. And that is a hard thing to do. I don't know about you, but I fail at that over and over again. There's another truth to remember as we live up to our full potential, and that is you have all the help that you need. You probably know what it's like to be at work, and when you're short on staff, or maybe you don't have the manpower to get the job done. Right, you don't have the leaders in place or the person that's going to delegate this job to that person or another job to this person. Right, if you've been employed for any length of time, you probably know what I'm talking about. You probably have your own story to tell. You know how frustrating it is to have a job in which you're ill-equipped to do. You don't have what it takes to get the job done. I remember I was like 19 and I got this job at Genie. So I was a copier delivery guy. And so me and my friend, John Olson, right, just saw him a couple of weeks ago when we were in Linwood for my dad's graveside service. We delivered copiers all over the Seattle area. And then after a while, they said, you're going to be the receiving manager. And I was supposed to take in all the deliveries coming into the company. Here was the problem. Like, they didn't train me to do this job. Right? They gave no guidance, no help. They literally just threw me into a warehouse and said, good luck. And maybe you found yourself in a similar situation. I knew what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to take this stuff in, but I didn't know how they wanted me to do it. Right? I didn't have the skill set. I didn't have the knowledge, the ability to do that job. Shortly before Jesus died, he told his disciples that he would not leave them alone. That he would send an advocate, right? The Holy Spirit, that would be their teacher, their guide, their constant companion. And guess what? Jesus promises that. That promise is true for us today. When we rely on him, he helps us. He gives us the strength that we need. He speaks to us. He leads us. He empowers us to do what God is calling us to do. Paul said this in Romans 8, verse 11, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Jesus, or Christ Jesus, from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He's saying in the context here of living according to the flesh versus living according to the Spirit. And what he's driving at is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now is in us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that power that's at work in Jesus' life is intended to be in our lives as well. Easter is coming up, and I say this almost every Easter. The point is that we may feel at times impossible, that we'll never get it right, that we'll never learn obedience, we'll never overcome sin, we'll never live up to our potential. And Paul reminds us that all these things are possible through the Holy Spirit that God has given to us. Paul also said in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Paul gives here the reasons why we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because God is working in us. And the idea is that since God has done and is doing a work in the believer, in the Christian, therefore there's a greater responsibility to work diligently with fear and trembling regarding our own salvation and walking with the Lord. And God works in us, increases our responsibility. It doesn't lessen it in any way. And the motive behind God's work in our life, he does it because it, what? Gives him pleasure to do it. You don't have to go through life feeling ill-equipped. You have the help you need. The Holy Spirit is within you. All right, the third truth to remember this morning is that you can do this. You have all the help you need. You can be assured that you can do what God has called you to do. I remember when I first started to tell people that God had called me into church planting and how we got this team of people together to start our church at Midway Elementary School. And really, I can't tell you how many people told me that we were going to fail. I mean, they just straight up said it. Or they'd look at me like, you know, seriously, you're going to do this? Man, even the church planters that I was around at CB Northwest and all those guys, and they would say little things to me, and they would just let me know that I didn't have what it took to plant a church. Looking back on it, you know what I'd say to them? You're right. I'd say, I don't have what it takes. And for whatever reason, God called me to do this. And we're here where we are today because of who he is, because of God. Not because of anything that me or our team did. And we had a great team around us, but some of them are here today. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You know what the key word in the verse is? I don't think it's I can do all things. I don't think that's the key. I think the key is through him. That's the key. When we have Jesus, we can be content in whatever happens in our life and the things that he calls us to do. And my prayer about our church has always been, God, you do whatever you want with New Creation Fellowship. This is your church. And then when you connect Philippians 4:13 to John 15:5, which says, I am the vine, you are the branches, whoever abides in me, I in him. He it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. There it is. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So no matter what you face, the trials, the adversity, the failure, it is Jesus that we give, or that gives us the strength and the power to do what he wants us to do, what he has called us to do. Which is also true of a temptation to sin, right? The book of 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul writes this, "No temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." What's going on here is that God is typologically connected the Hebrew scriptures and the situation faced by the Corinthians as a part of his sovereign plan, because God has drawn these connections. The reality is the Corinthians may fail, right? Just like the Jewish people fell. The temptation, or possibly a test facing the Corinthians, verse 13, involved returning to the temples in order to avoid the social, political, and financial exclusion if they don't go back to the temple. And God is faithful to make sure that the tests that he ordains are the same with the strength that he provides us to pass them. Then let's take note that the escape may not be the removal of the test, but maybe the ability to endure it. And the Corinthians would feel an ongoing pull to return to the temples, but God would help them to do what is right, which in this context is what? Flee from idolatry. All that to say, when it comes to winning the battle against sin, we have the help that we need. We have the power of God in us. Romans 8, verse 37, after talking about the challenges and the difficulties of life, Paul says this, "Not in all things..." Or that's not what it says. It says, "No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Right? We are more than conquerors. You want to hang on to a label, hang on to that one. That's who God made us to be. We can be holy. We can live a meaningful life. We can make a difference. We can thrive at work. You can be fulfilled in your marriage. And it's not just a squeak by, barely make it kind of way. I don't think. You are more than a conqueror. I was thinking about this last week. You know me, I couldn't help but to think of the Gonzaga basketball team. Right, how this year with the COVID-19 restrictions and not playing all of their games and having to be careful not to go out in public. You have these 19, 20, 21-year-old kids that can't hang out with their friends. They can't go back home to where their families are. And yet through all of that, they've won every single game that they've played. You know, I wrote that before Saturday's game, by the way. It's not winning, that's conquering. We should have that confidence as believers that in every situation we'll have the strength to do what it takes, to do what God is leading us to do. And I think a lot of believers are just blinded to their potential because they don't recognize their true identity. They don't recognize who they are in Christ. It's like the story of Forky, right? He saw himself nothing more as a throwaway, not even fit for the recycling bin. But Bonnie saw him differently. To himself, he was trash, but to her, he was a treasure. He was her favorite toy. And she saw the potential that he couldn't see in himself. Let's not make that same mistake. God sees you not as trash, but rather as a treasure. Not as one to be cast away, but as one ready to fulfill what he has for you in your life. He's created you to be like Jesus. And he gives you the help that you need in the Holy Spirit. The power to live a holy life. Day after day, moment after moment. And you may think you're impossible, but God says, "I want to make you possible." And it is for this you were created. In a moment that you can experience the fullness of who you are in Christ. Would you pray with me this morning? God, thank you for your word today. And God, would you Search me today, God. Would you know my heart? Try me and know my anxious thoughts. God, see if there's any hurtful way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Mold me to be more in your image today. And God, never let me forget whose I am. God, today, for those that are here that are believers, may we choose to see ourselves and set right. You've given us the righteousness of Jesus. And it's because of that truth that we can live free of the weight and the burden. So God, thank you for lifting that from us. We don't have to live under that weight any longer. God, thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.